Our scripture reading today comes from Mark 9:2-9 and says, "After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, 'Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, 'This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him.' Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead."
We are blessed to have our speaker today, Ron Bryant. You can come up if you need to set up. He is the superintendent of the Iowa Yearly Meeting, a graduate of the master's program here at Barclay College, and before that, a pastor. We are grateful he's come down. Like I said, he'll be on campus today and tomorrow. If you have any interest in the ministry opportunities that might be available now and after you graduate, make sure you come talk to him. Would you join me in a word of prayer for him? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for the servants of God you've placed in leadership over churches around America and around the world. Those who are worthy of double honor because they take on the double responsibility, the double sacrifice on the front lines, Lord, of helping communities of faith reach their full potential, of pastoring pastors, of guiding the flocks of God. And Father, I pray that we be open to what you have to say to us today through your holy word and through your Holy Spirit. Please be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's welcome Ron Bryant.
Let's go back one. I love coming here for chapel. Don't get here often enough. It's about 500 miles from my house to here. I was thinking this morning as we were singing, I wish I had a vaccination that I could give to each of you, inoculate you against all the trials and the tribulations and the challenges you're going to face in life. Because there are many and they are varied and they come from angles and places you never would have expected. I don't mean to make this sound just all negative, but I'm talking about the realities of life. And if you're going to follow Christ, I know you talk about it and you're praying about it and you're searching your heart about it right now, but if you're going to follow Christ, it ain't an easy road all the way. It just isn't. Because there are powers and principalities that are very much opposed to what you're doing. I can't go into details, but no one should have to go through what I've gone through in the last week in leadership. But it is there. And on the way out here, I was ready to throw in the towel, and I pulled out a CD that my son-in-law had helped make, and some songs he had written, and a musical that he'd produced, and I listened to that, and I had to almost pull over at one point. I was weeping, and I was so overcome by the blessings of the joy of Christ in that music, and all I could think of was how desperately I needed it to keep me moving forward. Now I'm nearing the end of my journey as superintendent of Iowa Yearly Meeting. And this last summer, as I was contemplating that end of that tenure and what I was going to do the rest of my life, as they say, everybody asked me, what are you going to do now? You know, I haven't a clue. So it's a bit of a challenge. But the last summer, I started into something that I had not done for many decades, to be honest. And it is precisely what the dean of college where I went, warned me about in 1978 that I had to be on guard against. And that is that I needed to keep in the scriptures, not as a source of study, not as a source of preparation for sermons. And the word I'm using is, it's a source of inspiration. And I have been blessed like I have not been blessed in years, just simply by sitting down with no purpose other than reading it for what it says and letting God speak to me. And that's where I say, I wish I could give you an inoculation that would give you a resistance to all the pressures and the powers and things that will happen in life. While I was reading the other day, a few weeks ago, I slipped over into the book of Hebrews to follow up, because I started Genesis 1 and Matthew 1, and I'm up to the end of Romans and the end of Deuteronomy right now, because I've been enjoying it and rereading some of it. But anyway, I got into the book of Hebrews, and I came across a word, and the word is better. And flooded back into my memory was my theology Bible professor. Her name was Neva Miller. She's gone to be with the Lord a long time ago. In her retirement, she wrote a book of Greek verbs of the book of Hebrews, a commentary. So she knew what she was about. So I ran across this word better, and it leaped off the pages at me, and my mind started to race, and I suddenly was transformed back to her class. Now, I don't know if you do it here, not at Barclay, but in our class, you had to do a notebook for every Bible chapter and verse that you studied. And I still have those. So the book of Hebrews, I pulled it off the shelf and I opened it up, and lo and behold, there I was, the word study that she had taught us under the word better. And I was absolutely blessed. I want to share with you some of this today, because I want to share it because it is timeless. You need to take it to heart and put it into the cornerstone of your life, because it's timeless and you're going to need to see. It's a lot bigger up there. By the way, I didn't design this. I have a brother, son-in-law who's a tech CFO for a large corporation, and in 10 minutes he whipped it out for me, which would have taken me 10 days probably. The Son of Righteousness, the New Covenant in Christ, that's the book of Hebrews. And she talked about to me all those years ago about how the sun was rising. And in this midst of this book of Hebrews is this word better. There's something better out there. And it's coming, and it's here. There's a better sanctuary, a better inheritance, a better hope, a better sacrifice, a better covenant, and a better promise, and a better revelation, and a better resurrection. Better than all that's been going on before that. Now, I've been reading Genesis, you know, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, getting blessed all the way through it. There's something better that we have now with us. Better than all that law and all that Mount Sinai covenant that was given to Moses. You know, for 40 years, Moses served as the mediator for the people of Israel. He was the go-between. And now, the author of Hebrews is saying, we have something better. It's something better is the new covenant we find and receive in Jesus Christ is better than the old covenant. Jeremiah 31. This is the new covenant written on the heart that transforms us. But I also found in the Old Testament, and every one of those promises, there's a requirement. Exodus 19, it says, if you will fully obey and follow my covenant. You'll find that phrase over and over and over again in the sacrifices and all the things that are there. If you will fully obey, I will be your God and you will be my people. Now, I don't think that was erased. It's my personal opinion. That wasn't erased just because Jesus Christ came. We need to obey Him. Something better. In Hebrews 11, verse 40, it says, since God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. This is, you were just reading the faith chapter. You know, if you read on down there, this is at the end of that. Here you have this better promise, and God had prepared it, and it's better, but he had to wait until those people there that he was writing to were a part of that better promise. They were seeing what all of those people of faith in the faith chapter had been waiting for. They knew something was coming. You know, they were beheaded. They were sawed in two in a tree. There was, it's unbelievable. And the dead were given back to their parents, you know, and all kinds of terrible pictures are drawn there. But Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Just for fun, you get into Romans chapter 1 and start digging around, because you're going to need to fall back on this stuff when you get out of here. And you get into a somewhat unprotected area. I love going to Bible college because everybody was there for the same purpose. We were trying to learn more about God, and we just had fantastic theological discussions. It's a wonder we didn't all write books. But God is at work within us. It's a better sanctuary. When Christ came as a high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle. Sanctuary that is not made with human hands, that is to say, it is not a part of the creation. This is a better covenant, and it is a better sanctuary. You know, and a sanctuary was the holy place, the holy of holies. Jesus Christ is better than that, because it's now taken it up in your heart. He's written it on our hearts, and he's transforming our hearts, if we'll allow it. You all had Pentateuch? You know, only the high priest could go into the sanctuary, the inner sanctuary, once a year. The way it was explained to me is he had some bells put on the tail of his robe, because if he hadn't done all of the prescribed things right, he died. And they knew that he was dead in there when the bells quit ringing, and they could pull him out. But you and I can go into this sanctuary any time, any minute, any day. It's wonderful. It's a better inheritance that we have gotten. For this reason, Christ is a mediator of a new covenant. Then mediator is what? He's the go-between. Jesus Christ is there. You know, in John, 1 John, it talks about how he's there interceding for each of us. He's our cheerleader. That's the way I would say it. He's our cheerleader. Urging us on, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. Now, I know theologically the sins of my youth have been forgiven. But once in a while, they're still lurking around in some sub-region, and they try to pop their head up. It's kind of like saying, "Meh, you're not as good as you think you are." That sort of stuff going on. And I have to reclaim it and stand firm. Next verse is, you suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. There you go. Whoopee. Here, you can take all of it. Because you knew that you yourselves had a better and lasting possession. It was greater than anything that we could take with us. We're having a problem in my house right now because my wife and I are going to move once we retire, and we're moving into a house that I thought was fully adequate, and my wife doesn't, because we got a lot of things. And she's already gotten rid of a whole bunch of things, but she's still trying to figure out where she's going to put all the rest of the things when we get into this new house. And I, frankly, she doesn't take too kindly when I suggest, well, it's not important anyway, just get rid of it. You know, those that are married understand. It's a challenge. But in reality, you know, the old saying, you used to say it at funerals, done a couple hundred funerals, you've heard some of these things. Can't take it with you. Naked you came into the world and naked you will leave. It's all about God. It's all about God and our relationship to God. There's a better hope. Oh, we need the better hope. For the law made nothing perfect, and a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. There was the law, and they could find their way to God through the law, but they never could fulfill all of the law. Because the law was sent to us to show us that we were sinners. Boy, would you imagine having to do all those sacrifices? You know? Go pick out that good-looking lamb. Go pick out, you know, take the best bushel of wheat you got this year. All those things that they had to go in and sacrifice weekly, monthly, seasonally. We can walk in and out of the sanctuary. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And without doubt, the lesser is blessed by the greater. Jesus Christ is the greater. And the reason I feel like I'm just really trying to underscore this is because you will need to remember this. Just like I had no idea 38 years ago that when I read the book of Hebrews in the summer of 2014, I was going to read a verse and suddenly all this stuff came flooding back into my heart and mind. There's a better sacrifice. It was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ, has paid the price. We don't have to dip our hand or our hyssop into something and sprinkle it alongside of the Holy of Holies. Jesus Christ is that sacrifice, and it's better than anything physically made by hands, is what it says. Better priesthood, because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. He's the mediator, remember? He's going in and out. It's not like once a year type thing. He's there all the time. He's as near as your mouth, it says. And when you cry out to him, he hears. I always like to add, though, if you cry out with a sincere heart, not just a flippant expression. Another verse is, because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantor of a better covenant. He's paid the price, and it was once and final, it tells us. He doesn't have to keep going back to the cross. That's Hebrews 6. You know, you just can't keep taking him back to the cross and re-crucifying him because we want to fall back into sin. There's a better promise in Hebrews 8:6, but in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. Better promises. A better revelation. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Read Hebrews 1 if you haven't read it recently. He's superior. Actually, I always was fascinated by a part of that verse that says the angels are given to serve us. That's there too. And I didn't get into this on this slide presentation, but Jesus Christ, it says, is the captain of our salvation. He's the one that went first, and he's the one that descended and then ascended, and therefore he has earned the place as being the captain of this covenant. Better resurrection. That's a hard... I had looked that up again this morning. It really kind of strikes me as not very positive. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. I said this a few weeks back at another church. I did not believe that I would live in a time where people were being asked to renounce their faith in Jesus Christ or face beheading. And what we're hearing is that there have been thousands of Christians crucified, nailed to a cross in humiliation and because of their faith. Now, I don't think we grasp that fully as we sit in Central America. We're a long ways away from that. But it's going on. Renounce your faith in Jesus Christ or I'm going to kill your children right here in front of you. That's going on. We better know who we are and what we believe in when we walk out of there and go on into the world. I've been trying to figure out what would cause that young woman that apparently is dead. What's her name? Kathy Mueller, that's been all over the news. That she went to give aid in Syria and had to know full well a high probability of what was going to occur. But she felt called to do it as she went. And she did it. But she also paid the physical human sacrifice. So, the Son of Righteousness, the new covenant in Christ, is rising. I love this illustration because that's a sunrise. As the sun is coming up, so the sun did come up and arose and is with us today. And it is something better. Lay it alongside of the teachings of all the other world religions, and what do you find? There's a difference. Even though the teachers of world religions are trying to make it seem they're all equal. Are they not? That's going on in an awful lot of our higher education institutions. But Jesus Christ is set apart from all of that. And He lives within us. He's in your heart. And He's speaking. If you'll listen. And He's guiding and He's calling you. I'm going to talk tomorrow morning in class, I think, still. And I'm going to talk about guarding your call. Guard your call. Because it's going to get roughed up along the way. I heard a sermon when I was a student. It was a student pastor that was speaking that morning, but he said, you're going to have to go to the foot of the cross and get a really big stake and drive it in really deep at the foot of the cross because you're going to have to lash yourself to that stake at times to hold you fast. But the whole point is you've got to stay lashed tightly to the foot of the cross to go through life, to inherit the better resurrection and all the good things that we can have. They're found in Jesus. Have I made that clear enough? I know that you're here and you're teaching it, but I'm just wanting to reinforce that as the days and the months unwind for you, you'll remember in whom your faith is. Let me close with prayer. Gracious Lord, I thank You for each and every student that is here. I ask, Lord, that You bless them with clarity of understanding of why they're here. That's the question I really wanted to start with today. Why are you here? Make that clear. Make them stronger. To give them hearts and minds to receive and to learn. Jesus, I pray for the faculty and the staff that are here to serve. They serve by teaching. They serve by listening. And they need times of refreshment themselves. Jesus, we pray for this entire college and church. That we will know clearly your direction. And that you will draw us together in the unity of Christ in the months and the years to come. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Thank you.
Grace and peace, you're dismissed.